Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin.
And yet, Cain imagined, probably in sincerity. I don't see anything with regard to how Cain approached, which was in any way haphazard or just coming in any way. He determined that God was going to accept his offer. I believe that's why he was so angry when he did. But guess what? Here, we didn't read it yet, but in verse 8, David was displeased. When he saw how the Lord had executed his judgment on Uzzah, it says there in verse 8, David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. So, this is our natural rebellious reaction whenever God executes his judgment, especially when it's people that might be close to us. It's one thing to talk about people out there that, okay, they're God sending them to hell, but suddenly you begin to look around and see your own family members. Where God has been pleased, at least to this point, to leave them in their darkness. And don't you in your mind begin to think, well, maybe they are the Lord's. We start making excuses, but if they're not coming as God determined, then there is no reason why we should ever give them hope. Else that's where begins now this thought process that maybe God will lower his standard somehow. No. Either Christ paid their debt or he didn't. If he did, he will draw. But if he didn't, there's nothing you're going to do about it. That's the first point I have us to see here in this text in verse 14. This gracious reception begins with God Almighty granting his mercy. So often we read quickly over certain portions of Scripture in order to get on to the next. But in Genesis 43 and verse 14, these were the words with which Jacob now sent his brethren to Joseph. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man. I'll tell you, unless God is pleased to grant mercy before the man, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be no mercy. All that the Father does, he does because of the man, because of the God-man. So that's where this begins. That word, God Almighty, I know people flippantly use it today as an expression, you know, God Almighty, whenever they're disturbed about something or expressing it. But that's foolishness to pronounce it that way. This word, God Almighty, here means El Shaddai. You've heard that song, El Shaddai, El Shaddai. That's this word right here, a name for God. And the first time, there's no coincidence in Scripture. If Jacob is using this term for God, it's because of how God was pleased to reveal himself to Jacob as a God of peace and grace and mercy. But all share the same glory, regardless of how God purposes to take us from this world. If that weren't the case, then we should all get up right now and go out there and try to lay down our life for Christ, because that means we're going to have a greater glory in heaven. That's foolishness. Just identifying with Christ in a world of opposition and isolation, even among our families. See, Abner tried to deter Asahel with that. What am I going to tell your brother if I kill you? He was trying to play on Azahel's emotion with those family ties. But what did Christ say? Except a man deny himself and hate his father and mother, he cannot be my disciple. He doesn't mean to be mean-spirited, but there's going to be a separation. That's not going to determine emotionally our relationships. There's some of us that have been cut off from our families over this gospel. That's as much of a conflict or a warfare or a death as it is to die physically. But why is it that none of that matters? Well, when God gives you his spirit, you can do no other but to follow after him.